Welcome to Under the Radar, a show about independent iOS app development. I'm Marco Arment.
And I'm David Smith. Under the Radar is usually not longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
So we are well into the era of the Vision Pro, being a real product that we really have and can really use with our real apps. And so this is interesting. You know, we were anticipating this for, you know, since last summer and even a little bit before that, kind of thinking when it was still rumored. Now the Apple Vision Pro is here. I think we've had enough time with it to kind of have a better understanding now of, like, here's what this is so far versus, like, what it might be someday. Here's what it's good at. Here's what it's not so good at. Here's the reality of the app market so far. And so we thought this would be a good time to finally address, you know, the Vision Pro out in the world now. You know, what are we doing with it? What are we planning to do with it? How is it looking so far?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting time to do that because I think we had talked a little bit about, oh, should we do an episode fairly soon after the launch about our experience? And I think it was just too soon, and it's like with such a new and novel platform, it is hard. That our, you know, our impressions and our experience both as users and as developers that first week or the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks is just not necessarily helpful for anyone, because it's, you know, what I think is much more useful is probably to get a sense of, you know, it's still very young, so we don't know the long term trajectory of this platform. But at this point, you know, almost 2 weeks or 2 months later, we have a much better sense of it. You have a sense of, you know, all the graphs and things that I, you know, have in App Store Connect or in terms of my user base or things like that. You know, there's this period where they zoom up and then they tend to come down and settle at a level. And I think at this point, you know, they've settled at that level. And so until there's something dramatically, you know, some other external factor happens, that's likely where they'll be hanging out. And so that baseline level is much more useful to talk about than where what the up and down thing that only lasts a few days or a few weeks looks like. So that's sort of where we are now.
Yeah. So let's, you know, before we get into the business side of it, just, you know, now that you have this for more than the handful of, you know, time and a handful of hours in the lab that we were able to have, now that you have this yourself, you have all your own stuff on it, you're able to use it at your leisure, what do you think of the Vision Pro?
I have very complicated feelings about it, in the sense of it is one of those things that feels, it is incredibly amazing as a technological achievement, but I find I never use it.
I'm exactly the same way.
And it's one of those things that there's a dissidence in my mind about that experience, that it is really cool. And when I use it, it is technically very impressive and I enjoy that experience. And there's, you know, a few times when I've been working on Vision Pro features where I like wear it all day because that's the easiest way to build and run with a developer strap and things like that. Like, and it's really kind of cool. But it is the difficulty that I think it faces in my life is that it has to supplant so many established other things that do an incredibly good job and in some ways do a better job than it does. That it functions as a external monitor for my Mac with the Mac display mode. And I can, you know, connect it with the developer strap. It's very reliable. It works. Or I could just look at my XDR. When I'm at home, that's what I'll do is I'll just come upstairs and sit down in my office and I have a lovely, you know, large high resolution display that I can work at and I'll do that. Or if I want to watch a show, you know, if I want to watch a TV show or something, usually I'm at home with my family and I want to watch it with them. And so it would have to somehow supplant that role, watching with, you know, with other people, which the Vision Pro doesn't really do. And so it hasn't supplanted my video watching. And if it's just sort of casual watching, so like casual media consumption, it's going to have a really hard time beating the iPhone. Like, the iPhone is great for if I'm just, you know, I'm just sitting in my kitchen waiting for something to, you know, waiting for something to cook in the microwave or to, you know, for the kettle to boil or something. I'm not going to go and get the Vision Pro and put it on. And so I'm just going to pick up my phone and, you know, watch a video on there. And so it has all of these things that it's very sort of good at, but it's not good enough at any of them to supplant the other places in my life. And so it's like, it's really cool and interesting, you know, but in my own life, the main use I've had for it, other than development, is showing it to other people who are interested in the device. I've done a great many Vision Pro demos and they're always very impressed with it, but I find it just isn't, you know, finding its way into my day-to-day life. And, you know, I'm a very technical person. I'm very engaged in this kind of thing. And so it's a tricky thing if I'm not finding a place for it in my life to, you know, to that I'm somewhat sort of representative of a certain kind of user. And, you know, if that kind of user isn't finding it, then it makes it a hard sell for necessarily for the platform to have a lot of strong growth in the near term, I would expect.
Yeah, I have found similar challenges in finding a place for it in my life. It is, you know, as you said, like it's an amazing feat of technology, and I'm almost feeling it more like a very specialized Apple TV kind of device. Of like, this is something that I don't foresee becoming, at least for the near future, I don't foresee it becoming like a general purpose computing platform for most people, just because it is so opinionated and limited and specific in how it needs or wants to be used. Obviously, the physical side of it, you know, blocking out the world, makes it challenging to use in any kind of social situation, including, as you mentioned, like your own family. Like, I don't really watch movies and video in it because I don't watch that many movies or videos. And when I do, usually I'm with my family and wanting to watch it with them. Yeah. So that's right out. I don't want to even use it like while my family's around, because it feels like I'm shutting them out kind of antisocially in a way that I don't really want to do. And so I haven't really found a big place for it in my life. But, you know, for our purposes as developers, I think the real question is like, you know, what is the place for it in terms of potential customers for our apps, or potential new apps that we might want to create for it if we're so motivated. And obviously for my app, you know, I make an audio only podcast player, and I get the feeling there's not going to ever be a big market for an audio-only podcast player in an immersive headset like this, because it's very much like the Mac market in the sense that most people who listen to podcasts are doing so on the move somewhere. They are listening on their phone, usually in the car or while walking or on their commute or around the house if they're doing chores or mowing the lawn or whatever else. They're not like sitting down at their computer and putting on a podcast while they do other things, typically. There are some people who do that, but it's a pretty small portion of the user base, relatively speaking. And I don't think there's anybody who is putting on audio podcasts in something like an immersive environment and saying, all right, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to listen to a podcast and just look at the mountains, which I did that, you know, as soon as I got the headset. That's the kind of thing I started playing with. And it's kind of interesting, but I'm still not doing it in practice. It's the kind of thing, like, I want to do it, like, once or twice, but it's not something I want to do regularly or really have the opportunity to do regularly. So I'm struggling to see a market for Overcast on Vision Pro. And the numbers so far of like who uses it in iPad mode are sad. There's really not much motivation for me to bring Overcast to it. So I think the question is really, does this market grow enough in the future where it makes sense to bring Overcast to it, you know, even in like the very minor way it would be used, similar to kind of how I address the Mac market with just the iPad version running in compatibility mode, which, to be clear, that's what I'm doing on Vision Pro as well, and I intend to keep that there. But like, I don't think it's going to justify further development for a while, if ever.
Yeah.
And so that kind of leaves the question of, okay, well, if it's not going to be Overcast in, you know, making a splash on Vision Pro, is there anything else I want to make that, you know, that could make sense there? I think the answer is, you know, not at the moment, because I don't have any other app ideas I really want to be working on right now, through no fault of the platform. That's just me. But I'm struggling to find anything to do with it in the near term.
Yeah. And I'm in a vaguely similar place, like with a slightly different. It's one of these things that I've been struggling through the kind of like, is like Widget Smith is the app that I launched on day one there. And I would say it is not done well. And it's hard to know the degree to which that is because WidgetSmith isn't a great fit for the platform, or because the platform itself is struggling. Like, you know what I mean? It's like those two things are completely inextricably linked. I can't tell, you know, from my data, which of those things is true, that it's just people don't want to download WidgetSmith, or is that people just aren't downloading apps. Like, those things are connected together in my mind. And so it's one of those things that as I look at my data and my, you know, the downloads and where things have been going on the platform, it's this weird feeling of like, is it just a bad fit? And I'm trying to sort of like fit a round peg in a square hole kind of thing. Like this is just a mismatch that just doesn't quite align in terms of, you know, at WidgetSmith, I tried to make it work with, you know, these widgets in your virtual environment. Maybe that's not it. Maybe there's some other thing that is compelling, but it's tricky and it's discouraging because at the same time, it's like, I enjoy, I enjoy working on this in a way that it reminds me a lot of the way that my work experience on watchOS, where there has not long been much of a business case for developing watchOS apps for a very long time. But I do it because I enjoy it, and I enjoy working on Vision Pro. But it has definitely been difficult, and I think it's probably helpful here. I'm just going to share a couple of the raw numbers around WidgetSmith over the first 2 months of this platform, just because I think if I were someone who's thinking about getting into Vision Pro development, is useful as a data point. And I would say, like I said, this is just my data. I don't really know if it's representative, if it's something that's going to be applicable to more broadly, but it's a data point. And I think in a complete vacuum of information about things, it makes it hard for us to make wise, thoughtful, intelligent decisions about where we choose to spend our time. And so that's sort of where I'm trying to get at with this. It's not boasting. It's not saying this is representative. It's just, this is where I have. And so on Vision Pro for, in the first 2 months, WidgetSmith had about 13,000 total downloads. And the vast majority of those happened in the first essentially week of the platform. Since then, it's dropped off dramatically. At this point, it has something in the range of about 70 new downloads a day. So as you can see, that number is relatively modest. And the trickier one for me, and this is where I get much more into the sense of the app itself is just not necessarily a great fit, or I haven't found the right fit for the platform. I only have about 500 daily active users in a typical day right now, which is not great necessarily. It's fine. That's 500 people is 500 people, but in the scope and scale of iOS, it's really tough. And this is the thing that I've been struggling with as I've been working on features, is I'm working on a big update for WidgetSmith. It's been my project for the last few weeks. And, part of that is the work that I'm doing for VisionOS. And it's weird because, how much time should I really invest in the VisionOS feature when there's such a disproportionate array of users between, VisionOS and iOS? And I struggle with that because those numbers just are really hard. And I made it a bit more concrete for myself at some point, because I was okay, so if say I took a full-time yearly hours, so if you take 52 weeks times 40 hours a week, that's full-time. It's, 2,080 hours in a year. If I were to distribute my time between iOS and VisionOS based purely on the number of daily active users, how much should I spend between the two? Right. This is the kind of calculations that I do, and I've done for years. I'm a bit of a spreadsheet guy, right? This is how I think.
This is going to be brutal.
Yeah. And when I do this number, so 2,080 hours in a year, I should spend 8.5 minutes on VisionOS.
Ooh, in the entire year. That's not great.
It's not great, right?
That hurts.
Yeah. And that number, what that number tells me in the way that is very productive for me anyway, as someone who's, this is what I think about, and the way that I think about it is, and I think this was a phrase you used on our episode about Vision Pro a couple months ago, is the sort of recreational computing.
Yes.
Term was a thing you used. And it's my development for this platform is for my enjoyment and enrichment. It is not based in a business case for me. There may be some type of app or some type of content or something where there is a compelling business case, but for me, I have not been able to find it yet. That's just the reality.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hearing from most developers, or not many people are sharing numbers, but yeah, just for reference, I don't have all the stats in front of me for Overcast in terms of daily downloads, but I can tell you, you mentioned you have about 500 daily active users for WidgetSmith. I have about 300 to 250, depending on the day, for Overcast.
Sure.
For daily active users, so that's not good. That basically tells me that the level of effort I'm putting into the platform now, which is letting the iPad app run, and occasionally fixing very minor behavioral problems that result from it, that is the level of engagement that it justifies at the moment for this app. And that tells me right there, if there is a place for me to develop apps on VisionOS, Overcast is probably not that place. And that's fine. I make this exact same trade-off on the Mac. And the Mac has, for reference, way more daily active users than that. In fact, I think the Mac is even outdoing my iPad app recently, which is really something. And I do the same thing there, which is I let the iPad app run in compatibility mode. And if there's ever a major bug that hits my Mac, my Mac version there, I fix it. But I'm not specifically developing for the Mac. And I think that's exactly what I'm doing with VisionOS. I'm not going to specifically develop for it. I will let the app continue to run. And if a major bug crops up, I will fix it. the place for the Vision Pro and for Vision OS for most developers, unless you have something that really fits it well. Like I know Christian Selig makes Juno, which is like a YouTube viewing app for Vision OS.
Yeah.
And that he says that's doing well. And you know, first of all, good for him. He made that very quickly and did a really good job with it. But the thing is, like, that's a video watching app that filled a really big empty hole in the platform, which is because YouTube didn't make their own app. So that's a very good fit for the platform. If your app can do that, can fit that kind of mold of like you're addressing like a really big, wide, broad need for this platform, then I think you could have a business case for it. Or if you already have an established app or service, you know, like Overcast, and you want to serve the number of your customers that are on Vision OS devices, you know, serve them in a way that will keep them into your overall ecosystem, you might have reasons there too. But those are two pretty narrow categories, really. And so this is not still going to be a platform where you're going to have a strong business case to make most types of apps. So again, well, you know, going back to the recreational computing angle, there's lots of areas of computing where people make software because they just want to, where there's really not much of a business case for it, but either it's something they use and so they want it to be there, or they just think it's cool, they want to tinker, or they want to learn, or they just want to do it for fun. And that's totally fine. There's lots of software out there that's made that way, and that's largely to the benefit of the people who make it, you know, as long as they know that going into it. You know, if you know you're not going to make much money on this platform, that doesn't mean you're not going to develop for it. That just means how you look at developing for it changes. The reasons why you might want to develop for it will change. And there still are such reasons. But, you know, don't go into it thinking you're going to make a business on it in most cases, because you probably won't.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is something that I feel good about in the sense of like the level of effort and energy that I will give the platform is more recreational and is more for fun. And I enjoy that. Like I have a long history of really enjoyable, fun, sustainable, you know, recreational development. That's, you know, I've been making more apps for WatchOS probably than almost, you know, anyone in the world, because I love it, because I thought it was interesting. And I'm not quite, I think I still enjoy working on WatchOS more than VisionOS. But it is, there's something interesting there, and it is. I love the technical challenge of it. I love the creativity that you can bring to kind of a more infinite canvas that has, you know, it's just a different way of thinking. Like that's really compelling. But from a like fundamentals of the business perspective, it feels much more like I'm glad I'm on the platform. I'm glad I have some data. I'm glad I'm not just like, you know, waiting this one out. But at this point, it feels more like I'm treading water until something changes in the platform. And until then, I'm continuing to sort of incrementally make things better, but not investing heavily into the platform, because I don't feel like, you know, that time is going to be as well returned to me as it would be if I'd spent that time on iOS, or, you know, those kinds of platforms where I have much more of a real tangible impact. You know, if I went all in on Vision OS, the fundamentals of my business would suffer in a way that, you know, I would not be wise.
We are brought to you this episode by Indeed. We're all driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets for you. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/under the radar. Just go to Indeed, that's Indeed.com/under the radar right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/under the radar. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Our thanks to Indeed for their support of this show and Relay FM.
So something that I think I always like, you know, I try and always take the optimistic take on something, or find the silver lining, find the thing that is positive. And I think about, you know, some ways the first part of this episode is a little bit negative. It's, you know, it doesn't end up in a great place of like, wow, it'd be wonderful if we were coming into this episode 2 months in being like, wow, the platform is amazing. It's on fire. It's the best thing ever. Like, everyone should be developing for this. It's amazing. That's not the honest reality right now. But I think there are things when I think about like sort of the why, and some of that is the device itself. But I do see that there's a number of things when I look at this platform that I have hope for, if there were changes made, that hopefully will be made, that for whatever reason aren't there now, that would enhance the ability for it to be a good platform for developers. And there's just some of these weird, I don't know, like I think of them as oddities in the way that this device is launched and the way that it's rolled out, that feel like, you know, there's not the whole picture that I'm able to see as, you know, from my perspective, but there's things that are just weird about the launch. And, you know, some examples of these are things that I think are relatively easy to change or fix, or we could hope for to come soon, or, you know, come this June, or exactly how this will happen, I'm not sure. But things like in the App Store, for example, like the place that people go to get our apps, it's strangely limited in the way the ability of the App Store to show users apps for their device. In a weird way, like it's primarily, editorially driven rather than being, you know, you either have to be featured by editorial or someone needs to search for your app. Those are the primary ways that you can find, you know, apps. There's no list. There's no browsing. There's no place that you can just go and like, I'm just curious, let me go and look. If there's an editorial collection for you that fits whatever you're thinking about, great. But there's no way to just like browse and find stuff, which feels limiting. Like, and I've definitely noticed this in, you know, sometimes Widgetsmith, I've been fortunate enough for it to be in one of the editorial collections, and the number of people who see my app and the number of people who find my app increases massively, which is lovely. But it's also kind of sad that if it falls off one of those editorial things, it just kind of disappears into the ether, and you can't get to that app unless you sort of are searching for it specifically. And so like, that's a change that I would love to see, you know, Apple do. And it feels a little weird in some ways that it isn't there now. And similarly, there's a bunch of things that feel like there's things in the platform that are just really, that aren't there yet, that would potentially enhance and improve the engagement to the platform. So I think of things like the immersive video episodes. The thing where they have one where there's the woman who does highlining, there's the one with the rhinoceros, there's Alicia Keys, there's a dinosaur one, like these beautiful immersive experiences. And from my perspective, they're like the coolest thing I've ever experienced on Vision Pro is that highlining one, where it feels like I'm like sitting on the edge of a cliff watching this woman do some amazing, you know, feat of athleticism. Like, that's super cool. But 2 months later, there's no episode 2 yet. Like, there's no momentum with that platform in a way that feels like it would potentially build engagement, get people putting the device back on who have one, who are like, oh, there's a new, you know, there's, if every 2 weeks there was a new episode, there's a new thing to get you back into the device, it would help. It would help meaningfully that there's, you know, if there was new things that were coming onto the platform on a more regular basis, there would be more interest in the platform. And it's these things that I imagine maybe this is just Apple's strategy. It'll come later. There'll be a bigger push that maybe they're supply constrained and it doesn't make sense to push the platform dramatically at this point, or they're waiting until they have a worldwide rollout, or like, I don't know. Like, that's way above my pay grade, but there's these things that I look at this platform and I'm like, there's things that could make there be more momentum and more interest, in the platform that would help a lot. And I see this both just in my experience as well as sort of in the data. And there'll be a link to this image in the show notes, but I looked at the like Google Trends, tool where you can put in a bunch of keywords and it kind of gives you a sense of how popular, how much interest there is on Google. And if I look at the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple Watch and Vision Pro, like Vision Pro has these two spikes of interest, one at WWDC and one when it launched. And other than that, it's essentially flat, like, and flat at zero. Like, there's just very limited interest in it otherwise. And I see that, and it's like, yeah, that sort of tracks with the amount of publicity and sort of pushed content that seems like would, you know, justify interest in the platform, that there's not more and more reasons to be thinking about the Vision Pro or to be excited about it that have, you know, in the last couple of months. And so there's part of me that also hopes that at some point that will turn around, that there's these fairly straightforward things that aren't necessarily fundamental to the platform, but are just a you know, sort of a content creation pipeline that I think would likely increase the interest in the platform, and that if it's coming from Apple, would sort of have knock-on effects to developers that, you know, every time someone has a reason to take their Vision Pro out of their drawer and put it on and experience something in it is another time that they may be thinking, huh, I wonder what else I can do with this. And that question is like the root of, you know, developer success on the platform in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think the path to general happiness as both an Apple developer and frankly as an Apple customer even is to try to match your level of enthusiasm for a given Apple product to Apple's level of effort that they put into it. Generally speaking, I have found myself happier the less I involve products in my life that seem to be low priorities for Apple. I've discussed on my other show about how, you know, the HomePods have disappointed me over the years, and I was happier to remove them from my life. The Apple TV I use constantly. I use every day, but not as a power user. I use it very simply, and that seems like that's a really good place for that product to be used as well. The Vision Pro, I even though it is the new hotness and it is, you know, very heavily promoted by Apple and it's a big deal, I think we're already seeing like what you were saying about how there's not really any new content yet, and you know, a lot of things are still coming soon. I think the Vision Pro is going to remain actually a pretty low priority for Apple, because it has to be, because it's just not that big of a platform yet, and it's going to be a long time before the cost of components and everything come down enough that it even has a chance of doing that. And so I think it's going to be a lot like the Apple TV and the HomePod. They might have the best of intentions, but I can't see them putting a lot of resources behind it, because those resources, they're making the same calculus as we are. They're saying, look,
yeah,
we have so many more people on iOS and macOS and the other platforms, like, we need to focus on those platforms. Like, you know, the iPhone is going to get all the resources because that's where all the people and money are. That's true for Apple as well as it is for us. So I think the Vision Pro is going to be a relatively low-resourced product in terms of, like, software and content and everything for a while, possibly forever. And so, again, that suggests to us that the way we should be looking at it is kind of the same way of, it's, you know, a fun place to experiment. It might be something in the future. It's maybe a good platform for like hobbyist or fun work, but I wouldn't be investing very heavily in it if Apple doesn't seem to be able to justify that either. And so far that seems to be the case, and that will probably remain the case.
Yeah, and I think there is definitely something in there that is, it's like, it's funny, it's almost like one of those classic, what is it, the Rorschach test, where it's like, if the statement developers should give as much attention to Vision OS as Apple has.
Yeah, what does that mean to you?
Like, what that means to you could be completely different things. Like, on the one hand, you could say, this is an amazing product that has clearly taken a huge amount of research and development, is pushing the boundaries in all of these areas. It's really cool. They've, you know, solved these really complicated and tensionous, like, user experience issues and problems, and it's an amazing product. They put so much effort into it, so much attention behind it. We should do the same. Or you could say they aren't. Like, they built this cool thing. They had a research and development project, and they built a dev kit, and they put it out in the world. Like, you could take either of those views, and that is just coming at, like, where you're coming from. But I think from my perspective, it's like, I do have the sense of, I will scale. I have a baseline level of interest and enjoyment in the platform that I expect to maintain that is not necessarily representative of its, like, financial benefit to me just based on my, you know, just I enjoy working on it. And that level will scale sort of up and down over time in proportion to the degree to which I feel like Apple is investing in the platform. And so come WWDC, come new things, like, if they continue to invest and develop and this is, they're pushing it forward and forward, I will continue to sort of track that from my level. But if it feels a bit more like it's the other way around, where the, you know, there's less and less interest in the platform over time, I suspect my baseline will shrink as well. But it's like, it's starting from a nice place. I enjoy it. But from here, you know, in some ways, it's up to Apple to determine whether it's going up or it's going down.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm going to talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.